Welcome back, everybody, to another dynamic and unbelievably awesome episode of the Be Better Podcast. I am your host, Coach Chris. Coach Gabby is not here, but I am still way, way up north doing my isolation with my family. And I decided to do that today with an old friend of mine who I have on the phone, Ben Welnick. And if you don't know Ben Welnick, the name, you may recognize him as the better half of Amy Welnick, who was actually my accountant. Otherwise,
you've mentioned her recently on some of your videos too.
I do. I think she's great. But Ben also is the founder and creator of Mountain Bike Radio, which is another awesome podcast. If you have time outside of streaming all the Be Better podcasts, Mountain Bike Radio is by far and one of the best biking podcasts out there. If that still doesn't tell you who Ben is, and you are a follower of me on Facebook, he's the guy that's basically been telling me all the things I've been doing wrong fishing every morning. Hopefully one of those things kind of keys you in as to who is Ben Welnick. And Ben, welcome to the Be Better Podcast.
Well, thank you. That's quite the introduction, so I appreciate it. And can I say with the fishing, the only reason, well, I got interested because you were doing that every day, and it was kind of cool. It was fun. It was, you know, just to be out there, you kind of get the sense of what it's like being out there. But at the same time, there was a good run. I think it was four or five days in a row that I took my kids out, too, because it was great weather, and it's, you know, late season's generally pretty good.
Yep.
But we ran into the same thing you did. Just a little bit later. So you were on some fish really good, but then you get that transition where it quickly changes from winter to spring and just really hard to find them. That's what we were in for like 4 or 5 days. I couldn't get the fish to bite. Even got on small bluegills, like over some deeper water, got on some schools of small bluegills, and I had a hard time getting those to bite. Wow. So I was right there with you when you started saying, oh man, they kind of just were gone.
Yeah.
I was right there with you. It was a good long run.
We had a great streak. It started just before Christmas. And we had been hitting them they had one little dull spot, but I mean, it had been pretty much consistent. If you were out there morning or night, there was a good bite at night and a good bite in the morning. And it was just a matter of like, it turned like in a matter of a day. And that really became when we lost ice around the edge of the lake and the minnows started coming up in there. Because as I was walking off, I could see minnows in the open water in like the 1 foot of like 1 foot away from the edge of the water. And they went in. But where we're fishing, it's like there's a lot of like flat area. And I thought I could see where they were going. I caught a couple of strays. But then it was just getting into perch, tulipy, and northerns, and I'm like, that's not really what I'm here for.
Right. It's tough. That transition, that winter, midwinter period is pretty reliable, and then it kind of just goes all – and then you spend your days trying to find them. That's all. It went from like an easy, reliable bite to like trying to track them down, and that becomes a lot.
And I don't have a four-wheeler or a snowmobile anymore up here, so I was pulling my clam everywhere, and I just, like, so I had a specific radius. Although, you would be proud, I did hook the clam up to the back of my Otso Voitec, and I did ride it across the lake one day.
Did it probably worked pretty well, except for when it got really slick, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, it was the hard part was just getting going to start with, because, you know, kind of breaking traction and like just making sure the bike didn't tip over, because that did happen to me once. And I was like, oh, crap, this is going to work out terribly.
Yeah.
But once I did, I was like, oh, I'm the king. I am pulling my ice house with a fat bike. I couldn't be any better out here.
So what you need to do for next time is you need to swap out those Van Helgas that you've been talking about on the last podcast and get yourself some studded and see if that makes a difference.
I know. Getting the new tires was – those Van Helgas are great. But,
yeah.
I mean, I took them out to Tioga up here, and I just, like, I could not slip out. They were just – I was, like, cornering on rails. It was like a Maserati and a, you know, driving through, like, you know, downtown Miami.
Yep. That's the fun part about fat biking, when you can get conditions like that and just rip it out and go.
Unfortunately, up here right now, we're in that transition, and it's not good riding. Unless you went out early in the morning and it was still frozen over from last night. But it's Slop Town USA up here, and you'd just be destroying the trails too, and then everybody would hate you.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
I don't want to be that. Have you ever ridden up here in Grand Rapids
No.
area?
Nope.
It's
I've
nice.
driven, my only experience with Grand Rapids is just driving through.
Okay.
That's pretty much it, right? It's Grand Rapids on Highway 2.
Yep, Highway 2 and 169.
So yes, that's my only experience.
All right, you got to bring the family over. And if you come over in the summer, then you can stay with us at the lake house here. And it is, I mean, it's top-notch riding. And I've not ridden Cuyuna, but for people that have told that have compared the two, they say they're just basically the same.
Here's my struggle, and you introduced me as mountain bike radio, and we're talking bikes and all this stuff. But when you say, "Hey, come on up and let's go ride trails," right? But you've already talked about fishing. Fishing trumps at any time. If I'm going somewhere and there's like good fishing going on, or even the prospect of good fishing going on, you're gonna have a hard time taking me away from that for all day,
Well, and
right?
th yeah,
So.
and I get that. That is absolutely right. Because I'm looking at, like, as soon as the ice breaks here, and we're probably a couple days away from that, dock goes out, pontoon goes in, and then the duck boat go or then we got like a little like a V bottom 14-foot duck boat that we kind of
Okay.
do a lot of the
Yeah,
fishing out of.
it's you have a hard time taking me away from that.
Yeah.
So,
It's
to
and the,
be
but it's a
fair.
it's there's a lot of fishing and a lot of stuff that happens on the lake, but you got to learn to balance, you know? Just a little maybe like a little bit in the morning or
I
maybe some
know.
afternoon stuff when the bike kind of slows down. You know, when you're taking a
Yeah.
nap after that third margarita.
Yeah. Yes.
It definitely helps, but yeah, the fishing is definitely really good up here. The walleyes are it's a really good walleye lake actually.
Yeah, I
Pacagma
mean,
is, yeah. It's tough. There's a lot of water. There's a lot of structure to try and get to, but there's good fishing up here.
yeah,
But getting back to endurance sports and all that kind of good stuff, which is kind
yeah,
of what we were
sorry, I totally
about.
derailed it.
That's okay, dude. That's what we do, man. So mountain bike radio, how did that come about? Where did that start? How did you decide I need to start talking to people about stuff and how did that kind of come into your life?
Sure. I decided we were having a child, and I decided what better way to get all crazy than have a kid and start something new all at the same time. So long story long, you like to say that, and I
Long
steal
story
that.
longer.
Yeah, so I started it. He's going to be 8 in May, so the first beginnings of mountain bike radio started about 8 years ago. And it originally started, we were living out in Denver, and I was in the tax world. I was an international tax specialist is where I started my career out of college, and I was doing that business for 6 or 7 years. And while I was doing this, we had moved out to Denver, and I was working at one of our offices there, and I'd started getting into cycling at that point, mountain biking specifically at that point, and more kind of as we left Wisconsin and moved to Denver, I was getting interested. And then when we moved to Denver, it just intensified. So I started kind of riding a lot, and I don't know how I got hooked up with the gang at 303cycling.com. I met them, or I sent a message, and I kind of followed along, but it's a cycling website out in Denver area, Denver Boulder. And so I started doing some writing and got involved with them and started doing some more writing. Basically at that point it was all writing website, click this, click that, and did that for a while kind of on the side. Meanwhile, I was doing some other work with another group, Jason in Michigan. Jason Mahokey is his name, so if he ever listens to this, thank you, Jason. He had a online magazine, so back nine years ago. Yeah, online. The idea of an online magazine was, I think, was kind of ahead of its time, because a
Yeah, I was
lot
gonna.
of people didn't really have iPads. We just had computers, and it was kind of clunky
Yeah, for sure.
to easily consume something like that. But he had done that for a couple of years, so I'd done some writing for that as well, and we had started up a podcast. So back in 2009, 2008, it would have been 2009-ish. I started doing a podcast, the XXC Magazine podcast, and we did 22 episodes.
Wow.
And it was Jason, me, and another guy. His name was Xander. And we were doing that. And it was in the days when you really had to explain what it wasn't, "Oh, cool, what's the show?" It was, "What's a podcast?" right? So it was that was the nobody knew what that meant.
For sure.
Because there was a first wave of podcasts a long time ago. So what, early like 2004 or 5 when it kind of first got going, and then it kind of went away for a while, and then you had another wave that kind of kicked up. So we were doing that podcast and it was really fun. And it was just three of us, but then people started asking, hey, can you interview X? Can you interview this person? It'd be awesome to hear from this person. We did a few interviews with some people we knew, just other writers in XXC magazine, actually.
Okay.
And but it just wasn't the thing. And it's like, well, maybe if I did this on the side and got people and interviewed these people, it could be a thing, right?
Yep.
So that was the start of that idea. We stopped doing the XXC podcast for one reason or another. It was a lot of work, and one of the guys wasn't really interested anymore, and we just kind of fizzled out. And, but at that point it was a lot of interest and a lot of just interaction and people, but it was funny. Like, we ended up laughing at each other all the time during the show just because it was funny. And, so I did that. I started doing some interviews on the side, and then I quickly realized if it was going to be a thing, it couldn't just be me doing it, because it would be a thing, but it wouldn't be a bigger picture thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then I should say, along the way, I always did listen to a lot of online radio. So back in the day when ESPN started up ESPN radio and you could just listen all day online at work, I was on there. So it was like, you'd listen to like Mike and Mike in the morning, Tony Kornheiser.
Yep.
And then the afternoon, I forgot it was the afternoon. Anyway, so I'd listen to that. And then when Colin Cowherd took over for Tony Kornheiser, and then I was like all in. It was like Jim Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Had his own thing.
Yep.
So I listened to kind of all those online. And then I was like, oh, I've been listening to all ESPN radio. And there was a couple other podcasts that back in 2005 and 6, Endurance Planet was one of them.
Yep, I remember
always
that.
Remember that. Yeah, where the guy, he would read like book excerpts once a week. And God, that was funny. But you'd have to go on the webpage and stream it, right? So I kind of put two and two together and I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, man. What if there was like, you could just listen to mountain bike podcasts like all day on just different topics or from different people or whatever it was. And all of a sudden you have the idea of ESPN radio, right? The kind of the network idea.
Yep.
So then I reached out to some people and it happened to be one of our guests on the XXC podcast was Andrea. And Andrea, she's doing a bunch of stuff, mountain biking. She was telling stories and all this stuff. She was a really good guest.
Okay.
And she was telling us about her roommates were Beanpole Matt and Full Face Kenny.
Beanpole Matt and Full Face Kenny?
Yeah, there's just nicknames for her roommates. It was Matt, Kenny, and Andrea. And like, they went by Andrea, Beanpole Matt, and Full Face Kenny. And it's like,
But Andrea didn't have a nickname. She was just Andrea?
Just Andrea, yeah.
Not fair.
But if you say that out loud and you're like, oh my gosh, what a crew.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and then the next step was, well, you have, I listen to Car Talk as well. So Car Talk and NPR.
One of the best.
Yeah. And that idea, I was like, holy shit. I was like, in my head, I'm like, holy man, I have this thing. I wonder if they're interested in doing this, because they're good guests. They can talk and they're very knowledgeable, super knowledgeable,
yep.
Like bike mechanics. They know everything there is to know about bikes. And that was, I was like, oh man, come up with an idea, Just Riding Along. It's like when you say the whole idea of Just Riding Along, deal, it just broke when I was just riding along. And they were like, yep, let's try it. And that is still a show today. So 7 years later, that is one of the most popular shows. It's Just Riding Along with Andrea, Beanpole Matt, and Full Face Kenny.
That's awesome.
And so that was the start of it. And then what happened after that is I had a couple other people I reached out to. We started up different shows. And then people started reaching out to me. They're like, hey, I've been listening for a while, and I have this idea. So then I'd work with them and develop, either be like, you know, that I'm not sure about that idea, or like, yeah, that's awesome. Let's work together and we'll develop that and see where it goes.
Yeah, you're a celebrity, man. Like, I never realized how much of a celebrity you were until I sat in that booth and I was talking with you at Schwami, and it's like everybody, you're mountain biker. Like, everybody knows you. Like, everybody knows you. And, like, you're like, super-duper famous, which I thought was super cool because I just knew you as Ben.
Yeah. To be fair, the world of mountain biking community area realm is not huge. So, it's not like I'm some famous movie star or anything. It doesn't take a whole lot to get the word around in the mountain biking community. So,
oh, you are famous. Don't try and downplay it.
And the other thing I will say is you saw me in a Midwest setting, and that's a pretty strong area, is Minneapolis or Minnesota and Wisconsin, the upper Midwest. It's naturally, I just see people out at races. I do events like that. So it's inevitably I'm going to see people I know or people that know me through that.
So it'd be like watching a Bon Jovi concert in New Jersey versus like in Tokyo.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. To put it in like heavy metal terms.
Yeah. I'm just trying to downplay your celebrity status that's on my head right now. But yeah, so that's how it came about. And it's just been a process ever since. I mean, some shows come in and out, different ideas come in and out. Just kind of try to stay ahead of the curve in terms of keeping things fresh and kind of new ideas, and maybe go kind of lead the way or come up with things that I see or think are going to be happening, as opposed to, you know, now there's 20 other mountain bike podcasts or whatever it is. There's going to be more and more every day.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, but just keep on going.
What are some of the, like, obviously we talked about the difference in technology and listening, that was in the beginning, because, you know, people, they couldn't just like pull a computer and put it in their car. And I remember when the first time I heard the idea of an MP3 file, and I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get, like, I saw an iPod and I'm like, how am I supposed to like get my CD onto that thing? And, you know, and how that has changed, and the proliferation of the evolution of cell phones and how we use those today. Has that, outside of just that, has there been other things that you've seen? I mean, like, when you recorded in the beginning, was it like super clunky? Like, what are some of the other differences that have kind of come and gone?
Well, the biggest thing is just the production, like you said, the production. So the barrier to entry for anybody to produce a podcast is basically nothing at this point other than having the time.
Yeah.
Because the cost, for example, I mean, there's free software. You can get a $65 mic that sounds really good. And the software in terms of hosting, for example, there's several options. I mean, Libsyn and Spreaker is a newish one. So in terms of actually producing the content, it's become so easy, both from the hardware, software standpoint, that anybody can do it. Does that mean everybody should? Probably not.
Yeah.
But what happens when you have so many people doing it is people that may have been okay to start, they're in it now, and it turns out they're really good and they have a really good perspective. But before, they probably just the barriers would have been too much. So,
that's fair. I mean, like, that's kind of how I got into it. You know, how I began it into podcasting, and it was like, okay, it seems pretty easy. And I know a lot of other people do it. The thing that I've kind of watched and that I like in listening with you is that there's a difference between, some people can't tell stories and some people don't know how to have conversations and some people don't know how to drive and elicit content and interest out of individuals and people, or at least have interesting people on. And that's kind of one thing I felt like, okay, I might be able to bring that to the table, but that's definitely something I would assume that you've been able to really dial into and continue to dial into over a period of time, which is, can't be easy to come in, say, okay, now what are we going to talk about? Like, there's so many things that have come around that you've been able to keep it kind of in play and hasn't gone stale.
Right. I think that's probably the most important thing, right? Because it's easy. at this point, podcasts is it's a become a commodity, right? Everyone and their brother. I mean, the list of podcasts is, I don't even know the exact number. Let's say it's 1 million that are out there available. If you look back 10 years, it was like the only reason mountain bike radio exists is because we just got lucky and started early and just kept cranking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just because of the sheer number of podcasts now, I think your point about the ability to have conversations, to listen, to really have some substance there. Like, you're really good at it. You're telling stories, you're listening, you do a really good job because that's what you do. I mean, you have those skills. And I think that's what that'll pull everything. Even if there's double what the number of podcasts there is now, 5 years from now,
yeah,
the constant will be the skills. It's always the skills. It's the ability to listen and have a conversation and pull that out of people.
Yeah.
And I think that level has improved. So when you, going back to when you asked me what's changed, besides the ability to not have to upload to iTunes manually, which was a pain back then. It was a pain. Now you could just push a couple buttons and it's like, all right, submitted.
There you go.
And then it just does it automatically. I think the level of skill has skyrocketed because you get the amount of quality content with people who are actually listening and doing active conversations with and just asking questions, and the level of questioning and discussion is really good, and it's honest and not filtered. And there's just, I mean, look at Joe Rogan, for example, right? The evolution of Joe Rogan from when he started to what he's doing now, him as a person, as an interviewer, it's tremendous. The growth has been absolutely amazing.
I remember him because he started out, for people that don't know who Joe Rogan is, well, you probably know what Joe Rogan is from either from his show, his interview show, or his announcing UFC fights. But you remember where he first started, don't you?
Well, he had, what was the name of the show we had?
News Radio.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. And who did he do that with?
It was Andy Dick was on there. Okay. Phil Hartman was on there.
Yeah, that's what it
was. One of the other guys from Second City Television was on there. Yeah, there's a bunch. Like he was like the handyman there. That's how I knew Joe Rogan. And apparently he was that was like his very, very first start into like entertainment. And now he's like, you know, he's found a voice, he's found an audience, he's definitely created a niche. I wonder sometimes if, because he's a big personality, right? Like, mm-hmm. Is that really truly him, or is that a bit?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. Sometimes I go back and forth, and I go back and forth with other people too, and on that idea is like, are people genuinely curious, or are they just doing it for the podcast or the podcast or the show?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's based on what I've seen and heard and saw him on other videos, just the Meat Eater Gang. Like, he's been on some shows and videos with them. It's hard to believe he's just acting, because at this point, what does he have? Somebody like him, like, he doesn't, at this point in his life, he doesn't have any, he doesn't need to pull any BS. He's got plenty of money. He's just telling it like it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
What I get from it is the other thing I get from what's changed is I think I've realized how many people are out there that are actually curious about what's going on in the world. I mean, before we had podcasts and people were showing us that, it was hard to really get your mind around and interact with so many different people to realize, like, wow, there's actually a lot of people that are interested and do listen and do have good conversation. I mean, yeah, you take all the podcasts and there's a lot of probably not good ones and people who don't really, who are just getting the biggest, hottest guest on and like trying to beg people to view it. But
yeah,
on the flip side, there's some really good conversation that's going on that wasn't 10 years ago. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think I talked about this when you had me as a guest on your show, is that mm-hmm. the one thing I've always enjoyed about this is the fact that this is, you know, 30 to 60 minutes of my life where I get to actually sit down and have a straight on conversation with no distractions. And,
right. Yep.
And that doesn't happen nowadays very often. You think about it. I mean, well, besides my kids coming in and out of the room, like showing me a 1-inch piece of paper asking to be on the podcast right now, I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. But being able, like, just like having that conversation with somebody and having it with an interesting person that, you know, that, and then being able to share that, it's not like my wife listens to this podcast called Crime Junkies, and you know, there's, okay. And you know, there's stories about these things, but if you think about like how, I mean, the first podcast I think I started listening to was Serial. And that was the one about, it was about a kid who apparently was accused of killing his girlfriend, but he wasn't sure. Do you remember that one? It was like,
Oh yeah. Trust me. I remember. I didn't ever get into that.
Yeah.
I listened briefly, but I just never got into it. I just listened to it briefly from the perspective. I just wanted to see what was going on, but yeah. Finish your thing. And then I'll tell you why that was a big deal.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. And like, I just got into it because it was the art of storytelling, and it got me into like more than just hearing like music, but listening to what people say and trying to really focus on something, which I thought as at that point in time, and especially at this point in time, is interesting that people do this from an audio basis. And I know we've talked a little offline about video recording, but just listening and having the ability to create a visual in your mind of what's actually going on or what the author is talking about, just that really kind of blows my mind that these things that still keep coming and still keep getting better, and, mm-hmm. and it's not like visually driven, it's audio driven, it's something that you're hearing, which is so old time, like, you know, your grandparents sitting yeah. around the, you know, sitting around yeah. the fire listening to the radio.
Yeah. Yep. So back to the Serial. So I'm back to your, because the question you asked about what's changed and what was different, you know, things you picked up on and things that have changed and one way or another since we started this thing. And because it's a huge question, there's so much that goes into it and so much wrapped around that question. But the Serial, you bring up Serial.
Yep.
And that was a big moment for the world of podcasts, because pre-Serial, Serial was that big of a deal. It's like pre-Serial, post-Serial.
Yep.
Right. Pre-Serial, the question was, like I mentioned before, the question was, what's a podcast?
Yeah.
Post-Serial, the question was, oh, where can I find your podcast and what are you listening to?
Yeah.
It was that big of a deal.
Wow.
Because it went mainstream and people suddenly, they might not have cared what Serial was, but the conversation is, what is a podcast?
Yeah.
So that was that big of a deal. And we just happened to have a ton of content. So what people started doing, and I saw it and I heard it from people, is they started typing in where they were listening to podcasts. They started typing in mountain biking. And then all of a sudden we're there with all this content. You're like, holy man, were you before?
Did you hear stories of people like totally like crushing mountain bike radio for like a month straight and hearing, listening to everything like years?
Absolutely.
Worth?
Yeah, absolutely.
That had to be so cool to think about, that people were going back and yeah. listening to like old conversations that you had.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They go back and they're like, they still do it now. We've been getting some the last couple of weeks, especially. They'll be like, yeah, I just found your podcast. I listened to this episode and it was from, I don't even know, 2015 or 16 or something. And yeah, and it was something.
That's cool. Now, yeah. So outside of the epic episode where you had Allison and I, which I probably has got to be one of your top five ever that you've ever recorded, I'm sure, in your life.
Well, you're good at stories.
Well, I had three beers in me at that point in time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know. It helps.
And a plate full of cookies.
Yeah, I will say the beers usually help. It just brings out some like verbal tick or behavior or habit that you usually have to manage. For example, when I end up babbling a lot, like rambling on, if yeah. I'm drinking and doing recordings, like a lot of on-site stuff like that, you sit in a tent, you have beers, and you talk.
Yeah.
But it becomes very relaxing, but then you have to manage not the discussion. The discussion just flows. You just have to manage one of your ticks.
Yeah.
And mine is, I just start rambling. So I have to think in my head as I'm having the conversation, just shut up, Ben, shut up, Ben, shut up.
So thinking back outside of that, what are some of the most memorable shows that you have done over your career?
So I did an interview with John Burke, who is the president of Trek Bicycles. And it wasn't a straight up, it was more of an interview in exchange for him promoting his book.
Okay.
He had written a book. It was a political leaning book of how to stay center kind of thing. And he wanted it anyway. Ended up being like a, oh man, I have to look, but 35 and 40 minute discussion with John Burke. Wow. So that was a big deal, because you don't get that opportunity very often. And it was really fun because I opened the, you know, with somebody like John Burke, you have to send his secretary, was doing all the communication. So I had to send it back and forth and we'd send a bunch of questions over. I read the book, went through, read the book, made all the notes, and then sent over a list of questions over to his executive assistant. And she was back and forth with me and we kind of dialed in an outline of discussion. But then I opened the interview. I said, John, I'm going to throw this one at you. It wasn't on the list. I said, we have something in common. Yeah, I said, we have something in common and you don't know what it is. Can you guess? And he's like, and I said, I'll give you a hint. It's from Madison. It had something to do with sports. And then I don't know. I'd have to listen back to what it was. But it turns out we both did Ironman in 2000. When did I live there? 2006, 7. Might have been 2006. We both did Ironman Madison.
Oh, wow.
And I dug that up because I was, you know, when you're going to do stuff with John Burke, you're Googling everything, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it turns out we did it that year. It might have been 2000. I moved there 2005. Yeah, it was 2006. It was rainy, 55 degrees. It was just, it wasn't great.
No.
So we talked about that a little bit. And, but yeah, so I threw that out. It was fun to be able to do that. And it was, you know, it was fun. So that was cool. Nothing else really comes to mind because there's been so many discussions about so many different things. Yeah. I'm not just saying it, but discussions like we had in the tent, when you sit down at events and you just talk for an hour with people.
Yeah,
sitting
just
in
flows.
The tent and at events. Yeah. And one that we did, one event that we did is Ben Hall is a guy in our, does a show called New England Dirt. And then we do a show called Ben's Week in Review. He's one of those guys that kind of came out of the woodwork and said, hey, I've been listening to Mountain Bike Radio for a long time. I have an idea for the show. What do you think? So now we're like friends and we work together for like a year and a half already. We went to, event called Dirt Rag Dirt Fest last June.
Where was that at?
Pennsylvania, Raystown Lake, Pennsylvania, which is like, oh man, it's like central area,
okay.
Central Pennsylvania, out around near State College. So maybe not central.
Okay.
But wherever, east or west central, maybe.
Yeah. Near Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, it's probably.
Because my daughter went to school an hour and a hour and 45 minutes north of Pittsburgh in Meadsville.
No, Penn State. What's Penn State?
I don't know.
What's the town that I have it in my town. Anyway, it's somewhere west central. And we
can just put some more dead air in here just to have us looking up straight up going, what was that?
I know. but it's a mountain biking festival, and you have a bunch of vendors that come out and do anything from demoing bikes to showing off their new products to you can try out clothing and just everything. It's just a big party. And the whole weekend, there's a lot of family-friendly stuff and whatever. So we did like two straight days. Ben and I sat in a chair, like just talking to people.
Yeah.
And it's not to answer your question, it's not a specific interview, but that opportunity to get those people and they start coming to you and say, hey, can I tell my story or can we talk about this? And it's just what I appreciate. And it's not just talking about the product.
That's good.
So it's not like there's plenty of websites out there that will highlight and review different products. But what I really like is people are willing to come on and talk about what they have to talk about without trying to sell their stuff. Like we had a guy on from REI. He's like a regional, manager for the DC area of REI. And he just talked about what it's like to be this outdoor city that nobody really even knows. The outdoors, Washington DC is like this major metro area that's like this outdoor city because the mountains are, the access to the outdoors are right there.
Yeah.
So just that kind of thing is really what sticks out to me. Are doing those events are fun.
What's that? I mean, I would love to, and I've tried to take this a little bit remote sometimes. I've done it at camps so I can bring it and talk to people, you know, in person. Because I do appreciate, you know, having the face-to-face conversations, which obviously can't happen right now because then we would probably be fined by the government and thrown in the gulag.
These are easier though because I already know you. It's like I'm just looking at I'm just looking outside, but I picture talking to you.
Yeah,
and it's hard when you don't know somebody.
And normally I just reach out to people I know. I mean, I have not really been good about reaching out to somebody I don't know. Like just like having to, you know, like ask for that. Like I wouldn't. I don't know that I'd be super good about that. I'm sure that's probably the limit of what this podcast ends up being. But, yeah. I mean, for me, I just end up recording conversations that I want my kids to hear me talk about at a later point in time. Because at some point in time, your kids are going to go, Dad, what did you really do when you were a job for your job?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, here, this is Dad talking to his friends over a period of years. And you can listen to this. And I thought that would be a cool thing as a legacy for your kids to, or your grandkids even to. And that you have to be thinking about that too, Brent. Like how that becomes a legacy of, like your grandkids will listen to it and go, that was grandpa.
What I think about is thinking backwards. Can you imagine if your parents or grandparents did this and we were able to listen to what they're doing or we're doing?
Yeah. I mean,
we see some videos and pictures, but
I know
that's it.
Ultimately, I'd like to have my dad on at some point in time, but my dad would be like, hi.
You'd be surprised. I think you'd be surprised.
Yeah. You know, my dad's got a lot of good stories, and I do want to do that, and I would love to have been able to talk with my grandfather or my grandfather's brother, because they both were in World War II. My grandfather's brother was a pilot. My grandpa was a belly gunner and a B-17. They both played professional hockey when they came back. My grandpa he won the state championship in 1936 with Eveleth here in Minnesota. My uncle played his brother played for the Rangers, for the New York Rangers. My grandpa played for a California team there was a California league at that point in time. I mean, and I would have loved to have, and I mean, but they never talked about the war. They didn't, and that probably is something that people, it's very rare when you have somebody who will chitty chat like that. But I would have, you're right. I would have loved to have recorded them and you know, great advice, Ben, that I should have my parents on at some point.
Yeah, I thought about it too, and I just haven't. It's like one of those things, you just don't get to it. And the same thing with my grandpa. It'd be nice to just get, especially in times like this, because they've lived through, you get our grandparents, and they've lived through some weird stuff.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had Amy on the show before?
No, she... No, and I can't. I keep telling her from her line of work perspective, the accounting and all the bookkeeping stuff she does for everybody is I was just throwing ideas out with everything that's happening right now. I'm like, man, you can really take advantage of it because just all these new clients that she's helping doing all this economic the aid stuff on, right?
Yeah, she's helping me.
And her thing is like, oh man. I don't know what I'm going to say. And I said, you don't have to worry about that. You just have you just know the facts and we can just outline it and talk about it. And she doesn't want it. She's the usual. Like she doesn't want it. She's like, I don't want to hear my voice. And I said, nobody does. Nobody does until you do it. And then you just do it.
Yeah.
But she doesn't listen to anything I do either.
No.
Like any of my podcasts.
Yeah,
and I don't blame her. She just doesn't do it.
My wife doesn't, but get her a couple of glasses of wine, have her do it. Cause what I did I podcasted. I brought my equipment with me on a plane, and in October last year, I podcasted with Jill flying to Amsterdam from Minneapolis to Amsterdam. We had the headphones and the mics, and the stewardesses were like, "Are you on a phone call?" And I'm like, "Does this look like a phone?"
Yeah,
but. It turned out to be super fun. Like it was because again, for the same reason, it's a little bit of an insight of like, this is what mom and dad were like just when they, you know, cause it, when they had fun with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's worth it. Like bribe her somehow or secretly do it and see what she does. Like she's making dinner one night and you're like, hey, so tell me a little bit about what happened to you in high school or something like that.
Exactly.
See,
I think it's hard for a new person to just do it. And I get it, you know, like guests, they get nervous because they feel like they don't have something to say.
Yeah.
I don't know,
but
if
it's
that's
not
the right way to put it, but they do. They just never really express it outwardly in a formal format.
Yeah, and I think that's important to tell people. And I think with the way that you interview folks and the kind of the approach that I also take is that it's not it's a conversation. Like I don't have like I may have a list of like of questions that I kind of want to do to have like maybe a little bit of a run a show. But I just want it to be a loose conversation, like with you and me. Like, for people don't know this, but I essentially said, "Hey, would you want to be on the show?" You're like, "Hey, cool." You know, then you kind of, you know, make fun of me on Facebook for like a week, which was great fodder. And then, like, we talked for 5 minutes before this, and I'm like, "Hey, you just can't swear and talk about politics." And you're like, "Okay, I'll try not to swear." Wrong.
Yeah, I know,
that didn't work.
I did.
Yeah, and then
I
you
know,
did. But this is you and me just chitty chatting, right? This is you and me talking, mm-hmm. and me getting to know, like, and having the opportunity to at least be able to ask you some questions about your background and not make it sound weird. But again, just like kind of solidifying a little bit more friendship, because I'll be honest with you. Like the first time we met, I had number one, I had no idea who you were. I had no idea who at Mountain
you
Bike Radio was.
It
was
standing at our cabin.
No, it was even before that. It was working Bora.
Oh, okay.
It was working Bora.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I didn't know what all you guys did. I'm like, you guys were just like this huge crew that I kind of came in and like infiltrated.
Yeah.
And then finally, yes, you know, the cookie cabin, which hopefully there's room for me there again this year.
Probably. Yeah.
Because Bora got moved. I saw, got a message on that one.
It's going to be moved.
Yeah. It's July 25th.
We're working on that. As of this going out, it will be. Yeah, it's July 25th. We're working on.
Well, was that not public yet? Was that just supposed
to stay
with us?
Not public. It's fine. The communication's going out very, very shortly.
Okay.
Probably next couple of days.
No one's going to listen this far into the podcast anyway.
I know, it's fine. But yeah, I mean, she was doing some of your work.
Yeah.
Right? And you didn't know it was me. That was the funniest part. Like I just let it roll for a while, and I was like, oh man, he really doesn't know.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
It wasn't until she physically walked up to the booth in Swami that I like, wait, you two are together?
It was awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You guys had a great laugh on that one with me.
Yeah,
so.
It was awesome. No, it was good. It was, I don't know what the point was with that. I was going to ask you a question on something that had to do with, I don't remember.
Yeah, I was just talking about us having conversations. And about.
Yeah,
unscripted,
not unorganized, but unscripted. Do you think this is what it seems to me? Is obviously there's some formats for shows that would require a more scripted show.
Yep.
So if you're going, talking about science items and you're going through a definite procedure of different information, then I see it. But the conversational ones, it's very clear to me what ones. They have even with the John Burke one, like I said, I had an outline, but I definitely didn't make a, I told him right up front. I said, this is an outline. However, if there's a point in there and you say something, I'm going to ask you to expand on that. And I might skip some more of these other questions.
Yeah.
Because I'm not into like asking something, discussing it, and then being like, oh, okay. On to the next one. Because a lot of times there's nuggets in there that you're like, oh, what was that? Talk about that a little bit. But I think it's very clear in some podcasts that it's very scripted. And I think that leads to my advice. So I guess it boils down to, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this too, but what it boils down to is if I'm giving advice to somebody new doing a podcast and they're like all worried about putting a script down, I would say you need to rethink that because then you're focused on your script and not actually focused on listening to what the person has to say.
Absolutely. I would 135% agree with that. The art of listening to somebody and number one, acknowledging what they say, and then kind of not playing off, but going off of that's definitely a lost art form. And that is I would say that would be the key ingredient. Number one, to having a conversation. Number two, to having a conversational, and I would say a non like formatted, like 60 minutes or, you know, style podcast. And I think that's what people want to hear is they want to, I think people enjoy the conversation. I mean, you think about like reality TV shows. Those are a bit scripted, but you know, again, that's people are just they're the voyeuristic aspect of it. I think that draws people in. And if you can have a good, like, deep conversation that is interesting and lighthearted and can go anywhere at any point in time, that's what keeps people drawn in. That's what keeps people there, because who knows what we're going to talk about. You know, mm-hmm. we might like, you know, just make a whole like half hour, you know, like rabbit hole about French fries. Or, you know, or
crappie fishing.
Or crappie fishing. It's like minnows or waxies. I'm like,
yep.
I'm minnows 9 times out of 10 right there, man. I'm minnows yeah. 9 times because waxies give me the weirdos. They give me the weirdies,
oh, really?
Man. Well, they're just maggots. Funny. They're just maggots. Yeah, like, I don't know. I can't open my garbage can and see a whole bunch of wax worms. I open my garbage can and I see maggots. And it's just gross to me.
Yeah.
And it grosses it's out funny. It grosses out everybody who opens up our fridge and sees them in there as well.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, that's funny. So you hit on something, though, that, and I think the reality TV was just the beginning, because you have YouTube. I mean, YouTube is now pretty much a thing.
Yeah.
I think it's still kind of early, just because if you look at the YouTube channels that do have good stuff, it's still kind of raw. But I think you find that same thing in YouTube channels, right? And now, I don't know about you, but for me, we don't have TV anymore, like the traditional TV anymore. It's YouTube TV and YouTube and Netflix and
yep.
whatever, Netflix and Amazon and whatever. But if you look at YouTube, that's the draw with people's YouTube channels. You have a million people subscribed to the one I've been watching recently is Brian Shaw. He's a strength athlete, like a World's Strongest Man guy.
Okay.
And he's like 4 or 5 time World's Strongest Man. He was a college basketball player. He's 6'7", 420 pounds. But he has this channel where he goes on and he just does like stuff. One day it'll be workouts. Next, it'll be like some eating challenge. Next, it's answering questions with a buddy. But it's just a very real, he gets his wife is very involved with it. They do fun challenges against each other. They have 2 little kids. So it's just this regular guy it's scripted to the point of where he does an episode. He has a plan.
Yeah.
But then the show comes across as very just natural.
No, I think
right?
that's,
it's not like a produce, and I think that's the key to it, is whether it's audio or video, and that's what I see happening. It's like the podcast version of like podcast to radio, and then you have like YouTube vert to TV.
Yeah, and I think the same goes if you have to have two keys. Number one, and you have to have good quality, you know, sound for podcasts and for YouTube and for videos, you have to have at least a good video. And that's, you know, you look
right.
at, you look at like some of those GoPro advertisements, like, oh man, everybody thinks they can just, you know, do that just by buying a GoPro. And it's not that easy.
No.
You know, so that, I mean, that's one. And the second one is having, you know, some ability to talk. And that's not what,
yeah.
no, not everybody can do that. You know,
no,
not
communication
everybody
is a skill.
Yeah. Billy Crystal is amazing. And hosted the Oscars for a number of years, not just because he's Billy Crystal, but because he's amazing at just talking
mm-hmm.
and like being lighthearted, a little bit self-deprecating, but he can pull it out. And that is a lost art form. And that's, and I
yeah.
think we try and tap into that a little bit every once in a while.
Go listen to Howard Stern.
I do. I was very anti Howard Stern, especially when he tried to make it into the radio market in the Twin Cities and he was going against KQ, and I was
okay.
very much on KQ, and I didn't have satellite radio for a number of years, and now I have satellite radio, and so I listen in the car, and Howard Stern is an incredible interview guy, like he
yeah.
or an interviewer and storyteller. Like
yeah.
he's gotten away. I think he's gotten away from some of the bits and some of the weird things.
Yeah, and that whole shock jock thing. I mean, what was buried under that whole shtick was the fact that he was that good at doing it.
He is.
So that's what always drove the show. But then he added all this other stuff that was always, you
yeah.
know, it's goofy, got attention. I mean, back then too, you have to realize to get attention back then, you had to be. It wasn't as simple as getting shared on Facebook. It's like you had to. You
yeah.
had to really drive the attention. So, but underneath that all, he's always been, he's like fantastic.
He's, I know it's, it, yeah. And I hate to admit it, but I really enjoy listening to him interview people because he does a great job because he does listen and he does care and he is a fan and he doesn't just come off and you know, just talk or try and he doesn't try and become the show at all. That's also another thing is like when people I've heard people do podcasts and they try and become the show. And there's a difference between driving the conversation and owning the conversation. Like you don't have somebody on and then talk for like 75% of the time, unless they're not talking at all.
Right. Right. And that's why I always tell guests too, is that's another concern for guests is they're like, oh, I'm going to talk too much. I'm like, that's fine. My job is to kind of steer the conversation one way, you know, get something out of you. Or if you are talking too much, to kind of steer the next step or whatever it is. The hard part is if you don't talk at all, then I have to make stuff up and pull it out of you. And that's really hard to do.
It's so true. Ben, I could sit here and talk with you for the next 2 hours, but I gotta cut us off here. Would you be willing to come back sometime and do a 2.0 follow-up on this?
Absolutely. There's plenty of stuff to talk about. So I'm good.
I think we should do a live
with idea.
We should do one from the cookie cabin this summer.
That's fine by me.
You bring the cookies. I'll bring the conversation.
That's fine by me. Anytime we could talk fishing, we could talk. Apparently you're into duck hunting too. I heard you talking about duck hunting on there. So I'm not really into duck hunting at this point, but all other hunting. So I'm all for talking about anything.
We have so much in common. So much in common.
Yeah, it's funny. It's you don't realize things until you start talking to people. So there you go, listeners.
There you go. Talk to people and learn things.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
So thank you.
Thanks, Ben, for coming on. Everybody, make sure you check out Mountain Bike Radio. Make sure you check out all the back episodes. There's so much there, so much great content. Ben, I can't thank you so much for being on the show today.
Can I say one thing?
No.
So listeners, the best way to do and go listen to all the back episodes is go to your app store, type in Mountain Bike Radio and download our app, because a lot of the podcast players, for example, will only go back so far. Like Apple only goes back 300 episodes.
Okay.
If you go to the app, you can listen to all 1,246 episodes that are out there.
Wow.
And you can filter by show. So if you just want to listen to Just Ride Along, you type in Just Ride Along in a little search box, and it'll pull up all the Just Ride Along episodes. So there you go.
There you go. That's awesome. Cool. Ben, thank you so much. Say hi to Amy and the family.
Yes.
And for everyone, thank you for listening again today. Remember, we have our super awesome Be Better t-shirts that will actually allow you to be a little bit better with Coach Mike on the front, crushing it in the cross course. Make sure you subscribe to us in iTunes and Spotify. And if you have any questions, hit us up online for anybody you'd like for us to talk to, if you have any specific questions about us. Otherwise, until next time, we just encourage you guys to wash your hands and be a little better out there. Thanks, everybody. Bye.